I'll pray for us and then a quiz to get us started. So let's pray. Father, as we think now about the witness of John the Baptist, give us a glimpse, we pray, of what about him should characterize our witness also, so that we can faithfully and better reflect your light this Christmas and always. Amen. Simple quiz then to get us started to see who can remember what. It's an easy one. Can anybody remember who was preaching last week? John Lee, correct. John Lee preached last week. Can anybody remember which gospel John Lee preached from? John the Evangelist. Yes, like the church name at Toft, John, the guy who writes the gospel, is John the Evangelist. So John Lee did that as part of a current series where, of course, we're preaching about Jesus, but the series is using a character from the Bible to get an angle on that. And remember which character we're preaching about these last 5 weeks? John the Baptist. So I'm going to crank up the difficulty a bit now. We have our John the Lee preaching from John the Evangelist concerning John the Baptist. But John the Evangelist doesn't tend to call John the Baptist. He rather refers to him as something else. What does he tend to refer to John as? Oh, got too difficult, did it? He pretty much refers to him as, and you'll notice this more once you've been told, then you're going to see it everywhere. He refers to John as a witness. So I thought it'd be as well to define a few terms, because I'm going to be quoting them all at some point or another. Now, some other terms that you might have picked up from the reading, and it might be as well to say something about those as well. What, I wonder, did you make of the terms witness and testimony as the gospel was read by Sally? They sound a bit legal, don't they? And if you didn't grow up in Christian circles, they could be confusing. And what we mean is, yes, perhaps a little like someone in a courtroom who bears witness. John the Baptist was someone who had first-hand experience of something and so was a witness to it. Not only John, you and I, we didn't meet Jesus during his earthly life, but if you've known Jesus as a Christian and you are following him, you would have something you could say to people if you were asked, wouldn't you? That would make you too a witness. And what would you call the thing that you say? Well, that pretty much would be your testimony. Well, that's certainly what we read about today in our passage about John the Baptist. He was a witness and he had a testimony. So let's have a think about why John the Baptist would need to give testimony about Jesus as his witness. You see, we didn't read verses 1-6, but if you've any kind of familiarity with the Bible, those will be familiar words to you about how Jesus himself is the Word and how he was with God in the beginning and he is God. You've got these great cosmic claims about Jesus. Everything, the whole created order, everything we know and everything we don't know was made in and through Jesus. Then John the Gospel moves on to teaching about life and light. Jesus was the life and the light of men that shines in the darkness, this light, and darkness has not overcome it. And so there's this great flow of teaching about the greatness and the wonder of Jesus, his cosmic glory. And then there's these words are a flow of magnificence, verses 1 to 5. And then as a bit of a surprise, verses 1 to 8, they kind of break that flow. And we've got verses 6 to 8 sticking out like a sore thumb, because the magnificence about Jesus carries on again in verse 9. But 6 to 8, God also sent a man that was not the light. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Now, if John the Evangelist, John the Gospel writer, just wanted to keep it pretty, he might not have done that. But he has something to tell us that amounts to more than keeping his gospel neat and tidy. And what he does is interrupt the talk about the true light by saying something about John the Baptist as a witness. The same thing happens in the flow from verses 14 onwards. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Great, majestic words about Jesus. Then we got verse 15. John bore witness about him and cried out, "That was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And then verse 16, we're back on with the glorious flow about Jesus and his grace. So the first thing I want us to notice is that these must be important things for the writer to say. He interrupts a flow of literary genius about the glory of Christ himself to say something about John. Now, later on in the Gospel, John, the evangelist, will tell us what he's up to. "These things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's what he's up to with interrupting this flow. Now, assuming your friends and family even know you are a Christian, which will be part one of our witness, wouldn't it? Assuming your friends and family know you're Christian, the likelihood is that in the next few days you will be called upon to bear some kind of witness. I've got conversations lined up myself this afternoon. I've got an extended family get-together, and I have to tell you, some of the conversations I dread. And I guess for you as well, it's not necessarily that your family will all be sat around the table with bated breath on Thursday just waiting to hear from you. It could just be your witnesses, they're going to have a go at what you believe. They're going to wind you up. Well, however those opportunities arise, I believe the first chapter of John will prepare us some way for that witness we will bring. So just a couple of points I want to look at. One, the imperative that we do witness. Two, the absence of me, I, you in that witness. So the first one again, that it's central to my life and your life that we are witnesses. Secondly, let's be careful that Jesus is his light we're reflecting and not our own. So back to these verses 6-8. "A man from God whose name was John, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him," verse 8. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. What we're picking up here is that there was a human being, involved in John the Baptist. Verses 1 to 5, you had the Word was with God, it was Christ, he made everything, life was in him. Like I said, written large on the cosmic scale of magnitude and magnificence, wouldn't you just think, therefore, that that light could witness to itself? Couldn't it do its own communication? I mean, lightning. Does lightning need a testimony? Lightning's there. You don't have to go around telling anybody. You can see the power. You can see it from a distance. And so intuitively we think, well, then couldn't something of that magnitude witness to itself? And yet, from the moment the gospel says, verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," all of our presuppositions about how things might be for one person or another to learn about Jesus, those presuppositions are turned upside down. You wouldn't have expected it. I wouldn't have expected it. But people are going to find out about this great cosmic light, life and word in a way that is not at all like lightning. Instead, people are going to find out about Jesus by many, many, if you like, small lamps, like you and me, that before were unlit and then became lit. They became alive for the first time. And now those lights are reflecting and witnessing to the glory of Jesus. All those glorious things about Jesus. And then we learn that a human witness is imperative. As John Lee put it last week, the words of evangelism, or the work rather of evangelism, is personal. Human beings will have to witness. A man was sent from God. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not the same thing as saying God is just waiting for human initiative to deliver his project. I just mean that when God wants a human witness, verse 6, he sends one. and for his own reasons, this is how God has decided it will be. Now, Nigel got to hear me preach this once already and explained some of those reasons to me in the vestry just before we walked out. And I'm not sure I'm going to do him justice now, but if you want to know how it is that God came to choose human witness, I'm sure he'd be only too happy to tell you later. But for the point of where we are in this passage, what we see is a man was sent. Human beings are centrally involved in witness to Jesus. John 20:21, Jesus says something to those who followed him then and to those who follow him now. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Matthew 9:38, pray earnestly, says Jesus, to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. That's you and me. Acts 22:21, Jesus says to Paul, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Yes, human beings are necessary for everyone to hear about this light that came into the world that we celebrate at Christmas. But note, we are not doing God a favour. He is sending us. We know, don't we, from Acts 14 and Romans 1, there is certain stuff anyone can pick up anyway just by looking at the world. The stuff you can pick up about God and know about God just by observing things around you. But if you want to know how it is to be saved, then human beings are involved in sharing that news. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, Romans 10:4-5? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? God sending human beings did not end 2,000 years ago. In fact, if it had, you and I wouldn't be here now. Someone must have been sent in between time, have they not? And still he sends. This, if you like, is our missionary call. If you were in wonder this Christmas at the light, integrity demands that you are also, that I am also, those who reflect the light. It wasn't just for you and me to wonder at. As a church, we're on this planet because they cannot believe unless they hear. We are witnesses to the light. So what did John the Baptist do as a witness? Verse 7, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. John the Gospel writer says lots more later about believing. But this is where he begins, and it's all tied up with witnessing. So to our second point, what about this absence of you, I, me in the character of our witness? Verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Now the Gospel writer has already told us in verse 7 that John was a witness, so it seems a bit redundant to say again that he was a witness. And greater minds than mine have pondered this, and they will say it's for good reason that John spells out the witness again to show that John the Baptist was not himself the light. See, it happens four times. In verse 19 we hear John the Baptist speak, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, who are you? He confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So there's the absence of John in the character of what he says about Jesus. It's part of his witness to say what he isn't. See, what he's not, that he's not the light, he's not the Christ, is part of what he has to say. The content of what he has to say is wrapped up in what he isn't. It's like this. They come to him, well, who are you then? They want to know. Maybe you're Elijah, to which his reply is, I am not. Maybe you're the prophet. No, he says. Verse 26 and 27 do the same thing. John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. There's a conspicuous absence of John as he witnesses about who Jesus is. I am not the light. I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet. I am not worthy to untie the sandals of the one who is. And we know John the Baptist is doing that consciously. Later on in chapter 3 he says, you yourself bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. And then John goes on to talk about the grace of Jesus. Don't you want to be led to Jesus by somebody like that. Don't you want the one who leads you to Jesus to admit that he or she was as lost as we are, but for Jesus? Or do you want the one who leads you to Jesus to be powerful and drawing attention to themselves? And by extension of that, don't you want to lead others to Jesus like that? This great absence of me and I in our witness. Will Jesus have to compete with what we have lined up for ourselves and our families this Christmas? Or like John, have we made him everything? It's his wonder, his light. He brings the life that we point people to. Now we all know who the easy targets are in teaching like this, don't we? From time to time at St John's, we talk about prosperity teaching or health and wealth. And certainly in churches in Mozambique, I've very often seen a pastor stood outside and he's the only one with a car and he's the one with the shiniest suit and all the adoring folk in the church, the men all stand round and think, I wish I had his job. I wish I had his status. I wish I had his car. And the adoring young women think, if I married him, then maybe some of his glory would reflect on me. And then I've visited churches in other places in more developed countries where they're promoting the latest DVD of their pastor. It's, as it were, his greatest moments. So they've got a DVD coming out and they show it at the beginning of the service. And it seems he's filmed from 100 different camera angles, every time in a different suit, but always a shiny suit. They are reflecting their own light. But they are the easy targets. The crunch is when it gets down to how we tend to eclipse Jesus. What are the ways we want the light for ourselves in conservative England? Now maybe we don't even pretend. We just don't give him any space or rule in our lives. Maybe we don't even pretend we are witnesses to his glory. And honestly, but depressingly, we admit Christmas, or any other time for that matter, is about us. It's about our families, our projects, our status. But many of us won't be there, will we? Most of us here will be those who are following Jesus and want to share his wonder and his light with others. We're not even a little tempted to wear shiny suits. A tweed one, perhaps. Nigel. Andy Poole. But not a shiny one. So where should we tread carefully, lest we fall as witnesses? What is it that the people see first when you or I tell them about Jesus? Well, certainly as preachers, we are tempted to tell anecdotes that put us in the right. I'd just love to tell you an anecdote in which I was glorious. How righteous I am. But for all of us here this morning, is our witness, as one person has said, that of one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread? Or do people see in us self-righteousness? So someone hears a person say, hears one of us say that we need Jesus, but from where they're stood, they can't see any need of Jesus. We appear to be totally self-reliant and butter would not melt. Or do they see highly educated people with sophisticated arguments? Nothing wrong with education, you say, and rightly so. But are you or I in danger of throwing in a bit of cleverness with our witness, which subtly ends up reflecting glory on us? For those that belong to a home group, is your familiarity with the Bible, is that something, a resource which draws others into deeper relationship with Jesus? Or is it just something that shows everything you know that the rest of them don't? Who is getting the glory? Those, I would say, are the ways that English Christians jostle with Jesus for his place. When you tell others about Jesus, are you or I too concerned to be in the right? I've done it myself 1,000 times. I entered a conversation with a concern for truth, well and good. But then ended up fighting for my reputation as a person who is in the right. So I began by witnessing, and somewhere along the way my head was turned and ended up defending my corner. I wanted to be right. The argument itself became the thing. And more specifically, that I or you were victorious in the argument becomes the thing. Maybe we just got too proud of our church building. It's not easy. Lots of people came through in recent weeks. They're impressed with how it looks, impressed that we did it for under $1 million. Don't you want to soak in a bit of that glory? It's all I can do to remember that every penny and every minute it took was supplied by God himself. Basically, you and I must ask ourselves, is Jesus the hero of the life stories we tell, or is it us? So St. Paul would remind us, wouldn't he, the light of the gospel is the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. So they say to John the Baptist, verse 22 of chapter 1, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What would you say about yourself? So they're pressing John now, aren't they, for an answer. We need an answer. And how does John respond? He says, he's a voice. I'm not the thing. I don't even use my tongue. The sound it makes is not even for my agenda. I'm just a voice. A voice crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Verse 34, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God, 29 and 36. Behold, the Lamb of the God, a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's saying, look, isn't he? Behold, look, he means. Look who saves you. It's Jesus. Then to finish, Nigel and others have been telling us in recent weeks, John came ahead of Jesus. And we are after Jesus on earth, but we are before Jesus, before he comes again in glory. And because we're those who are going to announce his coming again, we are, as it were, recast in that role of John the Baptist. John as a witness before Jesus came, we too are to be witnesses. It is a great necessity. The world is waiting, not for a flash of lightning, but God has chosen person-to-person witness. And the way people will come to know the Saviour is through that person-to-person witness. But remembering also that the character of the witness is going to be that we do not focus on ourselves. Jesus came as we celebrate at Christmas, and Jesus is coming again. Tell your friends, communicating it in such a way that he is the one getting the glory. Amen.